Welcome to the HR Power Hour, presented by Career Management Associates. I'm David Chulo. It's about all things in the human resource world. We're going to bring in local, regional, and national guests, and we're going to talk about a variety of topics and explain why human resource management is critical to your business success so that you can make decisions to keep and retain great talent. Today on the HR Power Hour, we're going to have two great guests. First, Cecil Hobbs, Senior Vice President, Marketing and Business Development for Activate Networks. Cecil's going to be talking about how HR can use company network information to enhance performance, collaboration, and high potential identification, including succession planning. Then we're going to be speaking with David Martinez. He is a manager and tax accountant with Baker Newman Noyes, an accounting and consulting firm in Portland, Maine. David will be talking about the white glove treatment for corporate executives. These services can be contracted by an individual or can be retained by a company as an employee benefit with an aim towards recruiting and retaining top talent. And we're talking to Cecil Hobbs. Cecil, welcome to the program.
Good morning. Good day.
How's the weather down there? I believe you're in Boston, correct?
That is correct. It is a typical fall day in Boston, which is to say, I may be wearing a heavy coat tonight, but I may also need a pair of shorts in the middle of the day.
You must live in New England, as they say. Absolutely. Well, great. Well, you know, obviously, this is an interesting topic, and it's certainly not something we've talked about on the HR Power Hour before. We've certainly talked about analytics. We've certainly talked about getting information and undergoing, you know, technology to make that information. I guess the question I would first ask, what is organizational network analysis, or ONA, and how long has, you know, this science been used, and kind of how, you know, how has it been used in the past?
Sure. Great question. So organizational network analysis is a set of methodologies for helping groups, teams, organizations, companies figure out what are the informal networks, informal social networks that exist and function with inside of a company or organization, and how do those impact performance, and how can one either reshape or influence those networks to improve the functioning of a given team or organization. And the practice of this has been, in practice for a few decades in various forms, most formally through a number of academics, one of the most prominent of which is Rob Cross at the University of Virginia, who's led a lot of work in taking this into sort of a more professionalized discipline in the corporate sector.
So, you know, for someone who may be listening and saying to themselves, you know, what type of network information are they talking about? You know, what is it that this is all about? Could you give a what you might call a layman's view as to what are we gathering? What's the information we're bringing together?
Sure, absolutely. So one of the things that I think is important to understand about organizational network analysis, and particularly the way my company, Activate Networks, does it, is that we all know how to manage sort of the formal hierarchical organization. Everyone's seen an org chart. Everyone's kind of been instilled with, you know, how the hierarchy works. We know how to manage that, but the reality is that work gets done through informal connections, informal structures. Anyone who's spent any time in a large corporation understands that the person who is nominally in charge of a project is not necessarily the person who's driving that project forward to get done. So I may know the head of purchasing at a given company, but I really know the person who approves all the deals and shuffles and makes sure that the approvals get through quickly is someone else. And so I establish an informal connection with that person to get things done more expeditiously than otherwise. And organizational network analysis simply puts a set of measures, gives visibility, and gives insight as to what those informal networks are inside of a company using a few different approaches. One approach that Activate has sort of led the way in doing is taking email log files, email header data, really no content, but simply the to, from, date, timestamp type information to understand who's emailing whom, who's responding to whom, who's sending a lot of emails and responding quickly to those emails between individuals and groups and organizations, so that at the end of the day, what one gets is a picture of the real world or the real functioning network that exists, or connections that exist inside of a group or a team or an organization, so that you can take that information and use it effectively to manage change in an organization, to understand who's overloaded, to get the right people in the right place if someone's ideas aren't being heard, in the case of improving innovation, or find hidden talent inside of an organization. So that's one method for doing it. Another method is, which is the more sort of traditional method, is taking a set of surveys. So typically when we've worked with clients, we've taken a set of surveys, included in the work, a set of surveys that ask such questions as, who do you go to for advice? Whose time do you need more access? Who do you need more access from to get your job done more effectively? Who's sort of an energizer inside the company? With whom do you interact and you walk out of the room and say, gee, you know, I feel a lot better and more empowered, and like this thing that we're working on is really going to work out. So those sort of qualitative questions have been typically the domain or the province of organizational network analysis. What we've done is add that, put that into a software package, and include the capability of analyzing electronic data to further bolster that analysis of who's talking to whom, who's looking to whom for support and advice, who's sort of driving the bus inside the company, and how do we make sure that we're developing, giving that person or those people the right level of support and resources to be more effective.
We're talking to Cecil Hobbs, Senior Vice President for Activate Networks. Cecil, you know, one of the things that people may say when they're collecting all this data, this information, is, boy, that appears to be an awful lot of information that you need to get. So, look, I've been at a company for X number of years. You know, you're coming in, you're asking for all this data. What if we don't necessarily have all this data, or do we and we just don't know?
Mm-hmm. I find that it's often the latter. One of the benefits or one of the powerful things about the way we do organizational network analysis is that it really leverages or utilizes data that many companies are already sitting on top of, and they don't realize that they can use to greater effect. And so what we do by offering sort of two different methodologies, survey-based and email-based approaches, allow a company to start with as light a touch as possible. So just about every company archives emails and email logs, and so we can simply take that information and provide a very quick snapshot of what's going on in the company. So, you know, give you a scenario. You're a new exec who's been appointed to head up a division in a new geography, and you want to know who's whom inside the company. Who do you really need to, who do you need to look to get things done? Who are the people that are sort of the close team that you need to develop early on? Another example is looking at a merger situation. So you just acquired a new company. How do you know, when you're designing the stay packages, which are the folks that you really need to, that are critical to the success of the company? And a quick email-based organizational network analysis will show the acquirer and the team supporting that acquirer during the integration, which are the people that the key resources, for example, a head engineer on an important product, who are those key resources that we really need to make sure we design the right sort of incentives to remain involved in the post acquisition scenario?
So let's dig a little bit on this email information, because I think mm-hmm. it's important that listeners and business leaders and HR professionals listening get the feel for exactly what type of information we're looking for. So if I was to say, okay, that sounds interesting, it certainly makes a lot of sense to me, but you want to collect all the emails, or you want to use all the emails I sent, So the question would be, are you looking for in that email content what gets aggregated? You know, is it the number of emails? Is it the content of the email? Is it the, what is it that is actually aggregated together to provide that data or that information? Because when you're saying email, understand that what it is, but I'm not sure that the audience yet understands exactly what it is that you're pulling together.
Right, right. No, that's a very good question, and it's one that we get from time to time, which is we don't look at any content of email. So whether you're talking about the most important, a very sensitive subject, or whether you're talking about a less sensitive subject within the company that you're collaborating on, we have no knowledge of that information. We simply collect what they call email header data. So that's who sent the message, who received the message, when was the message sent, when was the message received, when was a reply made, that sort of information. And from that volume of email, from the time lag and the characteristics of the responses in terms of frequency of response, quickness, speed of response relative to all other emails, we're able to infer what we call network connections. Really, these are relationships from different emails and understand the structural patterns in the communications so that we can not only identify which existing relationships exist, but which unobserved relationships exist. So it's a very light touch sort of set of data that we're collecting. It's not this sort of invasive effort that I think many might be concerned about when we start talking about email data. It's already data that companies are collecting and using. It's simply the characteristics of the emails themselves, not the content.
Okay. You talked a little bit about what the information we're collecting is, email and other maybe survey data and all sorts. So tell me a little bit about some of the really strong benefits of pulling this together. You gave an example on a merger. You gave an example of an acquisition. What other solid reasons would an organization really think about using this? And I know one of the things you mentioned was session planning. So I'd be interested in knowing a little bit about that as well.
Sure. I can start with the succession planning example and then talk about a few others that touch various aspects of a business. So with succession planning, most of the succession planning tools do a great job at sort of characterizing who's a hypo and looking at sort of the named successors or the identified successors, whether it's a 9-box or some other methodology. What we do that's different from those and in many ways complements those is first we identify who are the rising stars or the hidden talent within the company that often get missed in any sort of hypo identification or even succession planning identification. So who are those rising stars? Who are the go-to people that may not appear on the short list of folks? So that's number one. Typically, we find that of the 40% of the people that get identified as hypos and get routed into that succession planning funnel, that's about 40% of the folks who are actually the sort of key individuals driving the success of the company. And so we think there's a great opportunity for HR execs and business leaders, other business leaders, to understand the full scope of who's out there and making the company successful. The second thing that we do that's interesting and unique and valuable to HR execs and business and other business execs is understanding who looks like whom in terms of succession planning. So you're looking at Jane, who's looking in a senior leadership role, and she's looking to transition out of the business in the next, let's call it 18 months. You've got a list of candidates. You do have some details around those list of candidates and their performance and their sort of set of experiences, but what you don't have is the key relationships, a view for the key relationships that they have that have helped them, enabled them to be successful. So you can imagine a scenario where you look at Jane, you look at her network connections, and then you look at the list of candidates and see who's like her in terms of their connections, their connection profile, or their network profile. Because what we know, we all know that collaboration and the ability to sort of bring together a number of resources and individuals is a key success factor for leaders. And so bringing in that network perspective is a new way to make sure that succession planning is done even more holistically than it's been done in the past. So that's one example.
No, that's a good example that provides an overview, which I think at least gets people to understand exactly how these tools can be used in an effective manner. And, you know, succession planning is a key area right now, so I think that's important to identify.
So collaboration and innovation are two topics that we hear a lot of interest in. So we worked with there was a food division of a large American consumer product company that wanted to expand beyond its mature, low-growth products, but the product development cycle they found was too long. They wanted to try to boost growth by developing more new hit products faster. What we were able to do through, or what an O&A, organizational network analysis showed them, was that there were business units and R&D departments that had become silos. So no organization, no information was flowing across the silos. And you can imagine really quickly that stymied any set of, new ideas, new processes, new product concepts that make it to market. And so that led the executive team at that company to take a few actions to improve those connections. Number one, they decentralized and redistributed the R&D group to the business units so that they would be, in a way, embedded in those business units. And in addition, they identified and supported what we call brokers in network language, that is, the people who form key hubs between two disparate networks. So you can think of a broker as someone who's uniquely positioned to bring together two different networks that otherwise wouldn't have any connection. And they're really important people in the life of an organization and making sure that vibrancy happens and information flow and collaboration happens. And so this company sought out and was able to identify those brokers through an organizational network analysis and then support them to bring the disparate units together even more. And then they did some other things that are more traditional, a few week-long company conferences devoted to creating the right connections. And the result was pretty powerful. They were able to decrease the cycle time in validating new product ideas, which is directly resulting from that greater information flow. And they were able to rapidly introduce a successful new $200 million product. And so you can begin to see how this sort of effort lends itself not only to sort of one-time efforts, but ongoing monitoring of how well-connected is our organization, how siloed is our organization becoming, how much are we leveraging all of the talent inside the organization to drive to new product ideas, innovation in the marketplace, and leadership in serving customers better. And so this organizational network analysis is a thing that can quickly both support the HR and talent teams in being better business partners, but also improve the insights that the business owners, the business unit leaders, have as they manage the whole, the totality of the business.
We're speaking with Cecil Hobbs, Senior Vice President of Activate Networks. You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back. If you're responsible for hiring and firing, you know it can be like a roulette wheel. If your new hire turns out to be a bad hire, well, all you've lost is time and money. Hello, I'm David Chulo of Career Management Associates. Don't gamble with your hiring. We have a better solution. We've helped hundreds of companies like yours find the right talent, and we guarantee it. Career Management Associates delivers people that fit. Go to cmacareer.com.
In today's digital age of instant communication, the art of conversation is being lost. Too often, verbal communication is reduced to shouting, not talking. Join me, Steve Woods, also known as Steve-O, for Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O, for inspired conversations with extraordinary guests. We'll talk sports, health, green, and life its own self. Catch Tide Smart Talk with Steve-O, Saturdays, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on News Talk WLOB, AM 1310, streaming live on WLOBradio.com.
And we are back on News Talk WLOB, and you're listening to the HR Power Hour. We're speaking with Cecil Hobbs, the Senior Vice President of Marketing and Business Development for Activate Network. Cecil, we just had a great discussion about what this new technology is all about. Actually, it's not that new. It's technology that's been around a while, but now used in a very effective manner. You've kind of discussed a little bit about the science around ONA. You've kind of given us some information about how it can be used. I guess a question that comes to mind is, what type of company really benefits from this the most? Is there size restrictions? Are there things that when you think to yourself, this is the perfect type company that would be benefiting from this type of technology?
Absolutely, absolutely. So in terms of size of company, we actually have no upper limit on the size of company. We typically work with Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 type companies, and we've worked with a number of them. So there's no upper limit on the type of network that can be drawn or that insights can be drawn from. On the lower bound end, we probably wouldn't find as much benefit from networks that are smaller or companies that are smaller than, say, 200 people, because at that point, most everyone sort of knows each other or knows who each other is, and there's some scientific reasons for that size being the lower bound, but suffice it to say, anywhere starting at 200 people and above, the sky's the limit. In terms of types of companies, interesting question. We have found that the companies that benefit most are those that consider themselves or perceive themselves as having a large degree of knowledge workers and a large percentage of knowledge workers. So at first blush, one might jump to the conclusion that knowledge workers, those are services folks like professional services firms and technology firms and financial services firms. Yes, it's those firms, but also we found that manufacturing companies, traditional manufacturing companies, have gotten benefit from an organizational network analysis as we move into a more global, distributed sort of operating environment. Any company that has a degree of organizational complexity that can't easily be managed is a great company. Any company that has great sets of knowledge workers or a large percentage of knowledge workers, that's a great fit for us. So it's sort of applicable to a number of companies, a number of industries of varying sizes.
You know, in today's environment, cost is certainly always a factor. In using this technology, can an organization expect to experience any cost savings? Is it something that, you know, when you're sitting in front of a CFO and they're looking at the overall, you know, cost of this type of technology, does it pay for itself?
It absolutely does. So there are a few ways one experiences cost savings. So let's take the case of retention. So if you find with an organizational network analysis, one can find who are the underappreciated, in a sense, rising stars who are not getting the level of support that they need. One can find the folks who are overloaded in an organization who either need additional resources or restructuring of scope of role or additional training or shifting of decision rights and so forth. That is saving one regrettable loss. Makes an organizational network analysis pay for itself. So that's one example around turnover. Another example is around improved efficiency within the company. So we've worked with companies who look at improving collaboration, and there's one particular company that wanted to consolidate some regional IT departments into one unit. And so what we're able to do is help them find the top collaborators who were able to serve as catalysts in this new organization and improve collaboration. As a result, the company itself had a tighter, more functional, freer flowing information network, which had the benefit of decisions being made faster, actions being taken sooner, and resulted in about $25 million cost savings and synergies just because duplicative efforts delays in decisions or delays in actions were no longer taken. So there's a big piece associated with cost savings through better efficiency, as well as the cost savings associated with reduced turnover, not to mention the top-line benefit that we talked about earlier with regard to innovation and improving time to market and product innovation overall.
No, that makes sense. We're speaking with Cecil Hobbs, SVP for Activate Networks. Cecil, you know, there's a lot of talk today about the use of big data. That's the buzzword. That's what everybody's talking about. Does your technology, this network analysis, really integrate with big data? And how do you see, you know, that future partnership that's going to be happening over the next few years as more and more organizations go towards the big data flow?
Absolutely. So it's a good question. Our head of engineering would tell you that we're buzzword compliant as a technology company.
That's great.
Which is to say we're able to handle and work with big data, as well as the emerging term that I'm hearing is larger data, which is not quite big data, but still are large, high volume data sets. So we're able to work with them. Where I see big data going, or at least one perspective on it, is so big data is a great topic. Big data means nothing without context, and this is something Robert Scoble, founder of Rackspace, talk about with regard to the consumer space, but it's equally appropriate in the enterprise space. Big data requires context, and when we talk about predictive analytics for human resources and talent management, when we talk about predictive analytics for organizational effectiveness and efficiency, when we talk about big data analytics and predictive analytics for managing the customer experience better, all of that requires a level of context. And one of the big pieces of context, aside from the who and what are they doing and why are they doing it, is the with whom are they doing it and in what context are they doing it and with whom are they collaborating to do it, whether that do it is to serve a customer, whether that do it is to complete a project faster, or whether that do it is to sell to a new prospect. All of those require an understanding of the context in which an individual operates. And that invisible social fabric, that invisible network, that informal set of relationships is core to finding that context within big data. So we're helping provide the context for a lot of big data in that regard going forward. And I'm excited about how this space will continue to evolve.
No, there's no question. I think that this will definitely have an impact on workforce management. You know, Cecil, I want to thank you today. You've provided a great overview of what Activate Networks really provides in terms of this new technology, this technology that really goes in and looks at organizational network analysis. If somebody wants to get a hold of you, how could they reach you? Certainly, they'll be able to go on the HR Power Hour website after this show and be able to obviously connect with you, but I'd be happy to let you provide a website and some information.
Absolutely, absolutely. Our website is www.activatenetworks.net, and I can be reached directly through that website, or you can email general inquiries to our mailbox info@activatenetworks.net.
Cecil, thank you very much for being on the show today. I appreciate it and look forward to speaking with you in the future.
Great. Thanks so much.
You're listening to the HR Power Hour on News Talk WLOB, and we will be right back.